This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hey there, and Happy New Year, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. For those who do not know me yet, I'm a co-founder and the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So, this time of year, you might be making some resolutions. And if you want to include some for your marketing or your business, later this week, I'm going to be covering exactly that topic, content marketing resolutions, on the brand new Copyblogger FM podcast. And that guy publishes on Thursday, so if resolutions are your thing, boogie on over to copyblogger.fm in your browser later this week, and you can pick that up. But on this podcast today, we're going to talk about vision, we're going to talk about goal setting, and we're going to talk about some of the reasons we don't reach goals. And of course, you know, this time of year, there are always a lot of pieces published about why we don't reach goals. The usual explanation being something like, we're weak, we're lazy, nobody knows how to work anymore, this kind of thing. So I would love to, with respect, call BS on that entire line of argument. You know, most of these articles, almost all of these articles, are basically written from the peak of Mount Privilege. And do they apply sometimes? Yeah, they totally do sometimes apply. But most of the time, there's some kind of reason why we're not putting that effort in. So yes, on a very basic level, if we don't apply the basic inputs, you know, if we don't do the work, if we don't build the habit, then the output is not going to look the way we want it to, and we all know that. But we also have to face the reality that there are times when the work we put in is impeccable, we work our tails off, and we still don't get the result we want, because that's how the world works. Now, if you're very privileged and all of your stars have aligned since you were born, then you're going to be in that group that will tend to see the strongest relationship between what you put in and what you get out. And there's not something wrong with that. It's just, you know, how some people's dice get rolled when they're born. If you were not necessarily born with every advantage, then you're going to have more bumps and curves in the road. And some people have a whole lot of bumps and curves in the road. So if this past year, or, you know, more than this past year, has been a bumpy time for you, a curvy time for you, I just want to let you know that I see you and I recognize a lot of people's roads are not that smooth. Secondly, I will, trying to stay pragmatic, let you know the best tool that I know for managing things when you have not been dealt a very good hand, either temporarily or more permanently, is the good old serenity prayer. And this was, of course, widely adopted by the 12-step movement. So grant me the strength to change what I can, the serenity to accept what I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. And this really works whether or not you're a religious person. It's just a good, all-around, helpful way to think about things. So pretty much no matter what your situation anywhere on this planet, you know, this is what you've got to work with. You've got to work with the arena of things that you can actually change. So you can change your habits, you can change your behavior, you can change your activities, even if it's really hard. These are the things that you can change. So that leads us directly to habits and goals. And I want to talk about some of the ways that we use goals in a very unconstructive way. A lot of times we use this, you know, January 1st goal or New Year's resolution, what have you, primarily, apparently, as a tool for making ourselves feel bad. You know, we look back over the past year and I didn't lose the 30 pounds or I didn't publish the best-selling book. I didn't clear $1 million with my business, whatever it was. So I think you guys know, I put it at the top of every show, I'm all about making our own rules. But I'm also all about getting real about our own constraints. So, you know, one person has 3 kids under 5, and another person has six figures of student loan debt, and another person has something about their appearance that causes people to underestimate them. You know, from my point of view, your path is your path. It's not anyone else's. And that's why I think it's so important not to play another person's game, because you didn't inherit that person's strengths or weaknesses or circumstances. So I found it very useful to measure myself against myself. You know, not measuring myself against that person I went to college with who seemed so bright and together, or my family, or somebody that I think is a guru. And I'll tell you a guru secret, which is that most gurus are full of shit a lot of the time. And I am full of shit a lot of the time. The difference is I try to be transparent with you about that. And I try to present you with possibilities instead of giving you pronouncements. You know, I'm figuring it out one day at a time, just like you are. So if I come across something that I find useful, I let you know about it. So measure yourself against yourself. And that leads directly to part of meaningful goal setting is just getting real about where you are right now. You know, how much do you have in the bank? How much do you weigh? How fit are you? In other words, how fast can you run, or how much weight can you lift, or whatever you think is a useful fitness element to measure. In my experience, the absolute non-negotiable ingredient for healthy change is to be able to be both realistic and compassionate with yourself. So the more that you beat yourself up and the more that you call yourself names and you say that you're fat or ugly or a loser or broke, the harder it is to make healthy change. Now, you could definitely make some temporary radical change, but what I've seen many, many times is it almost always pushes you in an unhealthy direction if you do it out of self-hatred or self-anger. You know, so for example, I've seen quite a few people trade some extra pounds for an eating disorder. That's not a good trade. Or, you know, you make some kind of huge change in your personal life or your business that you can't sustain. And then you get even more angry with yourself. Plus, usually you're in a worse hole than the one you started out in. So it must be faced that many, many advice-giving type people completely disagree with me on this. You know, they're all about shouting at you. They're all about calling you weak and telling you that you have to hate yourself to make positive changes. And my only counter is I've just almost never seen this work. And sometimes when it seems from the outside like it's working for somebody, when you dig deeper, you find a lot of self-hatred or misery, even after the desired change has taken place. So that's my bias, just putting it out there. You can experiment with it or not. It's totally up to you. You're the only person who knows if this feels right to you. So putting all that forward, I do want to talk about vision, and I do want to talk about setting goals. So if the foundation of smart goal setting is getting real with yourself without kicking yourself, then of course that's going to be step one. So my recommendation for this week, if you choose to accept it, is to take a good look, a compassionate look at where you are. And I'll start with something that's not super emotionally loaded for a lot of people. Let's say you want more traffic to your website. So this is the week that you get into your Google Analytics. You know, you look at your email open rates, you look at your email click-through rates, whatever it is that you might be looking at to see how much traffic am I getting to my website. Now, it may be that you don't have any tools set up to measure that. So if that's the case, it is for a lot of people, then this is what you do this week. This week, you make that happen by the end of the week. You know, you set up something like Google Analytics. This is one of those things that is not nearly as hard as it feels like it's going to be. You know, before you do it, it completely feels like Mount Everest. And then once you get it done, it's actually not nearly as hard as you thought. So once you have some kind of handle on your numbers, then you can start to come up with some goals that make sense for you. So if you are seeing that you have 100 visitors a day, then over quarter one of the upcoming year, you can try and bump that up to a consistent, more or less 125 visitors a day. On average, you'll have great days and you'll have lousy days. Now, of course, percentage-wise, that's a lot. So if you have 10,000 visitors a day and you're trying to get to 12,500 by the end of the first quarter, that's going to be harder to get to, although you may very well be able to do it. But make your goal make sense based on where you are right now. So that's part of comparing yourself to yourself. I'm asked all the time, well, how much traffic to a website is good? How big an email list is good? what percentage of visitors who visit the site who sign up for the email list is a good percentage. And those numbers really meaningfully need to come from you. You know, well, what's it been so far? Well, can you do a little bit better? Can you do 1%, 2%, 5% better? And for this kind of business goals, we definitely want to think very carefully about what is it that you want to measure and improve. So if we dig a little bit into that goal of getting more traffic to the website, what is it that you really want to get out of that? You know, do you really want more visitors or do you want more customers? You know, do you want more people to do the thing that your site is meant to do? Maybe what you really want is more email subscribers rather than more raw traffic. Usually that email subscriber number tends to get better results for most websites and most projects. So that's another thing that I would put on your list this week is just give some thought to what is it you want and what do you want to get out of it and try and sketch that out. So sometime, could be this coming weekend, maybe once you have a rough idea of what you want, what goal you want to work toward, I would love it if you would get into your calendar. Now, I do not care what calendar you use. So Outlook, Gmail, iCal, paper calendar, the calendar on your phone, I don't care. But start to put that, you know, kind of back of the envelope goal that you came up with onto your calendar for regularly scheduled future dates. And what you're going to put in there is a time to look at those goals regularly and a time to check the progress and then make any decisions about is what you're doing working or not working. So one good thing to figure out is how far in advance you want to run this goal. So is there something that you want to do over the whole year? Do you want to see how much you can improve your email subscribers from this year to January 2017? So if you've got an annual goal like that, then I would recommend you put something in your calendar once a month to just check progress on it. How's that number doing? What have you done to improve it? Is that working? Could you try something different to improve it? And I would recommend if you do have an annual goal like that once a quarter, schedule some time to be really analytical about it. You know, dig deeply into the numbers, dig deeply into your strategy, really figure out what you might do differently, what you should do more of, what maybe you should do less of. Maybe you try an experiment and really doesn't seem to be doing much for you. Quarterly will give you just enough information that you can make a good decision. So along with the G word, with goals this time of year, vision's another one that gets thrown around quite a bit, and it's part of what I want to talk about today. You know, vision and goals go together. So your vision is a snapshot of what things are going to look like when the individual goals get accomplished. For many of us, you know, as the visually oriented word would suggest, it's a picture. It's something we can see, but also something we can sense, something we can smell, touch, feel in an emotional sense. So I'll share something that I found really valuable, and you may want to give it a try. I find it valuable to take maybe a half hour and sit down either with a text file on my laptop or this is an exercise that I will tend to do on paper with an ink pen. And I describe what is it going to look like when I get there? You know, there being what's this constellation of goals I have for myself? What's it going to look like? What would I like things to look like this time next year? So what are the numbers going to be? What's my living room going to look like? How's my relationship with my family? How about my health? What's going on with that? What kind of colleagues am I going to be working with? You know, clients or employees or business partners? And how are those relationships going to feel? So what is it going to be like when you get to where you're going? And then the flip side of this is that compassionately, you take a look at where things are today and document those. So you write out, you know, your vision for where you're going, and then you write out a realistic and compassionate statement of where they are today. So of course, you know, we're going to try to avoid the I'm such a loser attitude. We're going to try and approach this with curiosity and with friendliness. Like you were describing, let's say the circumstances of a close friend or a family member that you really love, you know, so, but it is time to notice, well, today I'm living in a crappy tiny apartment and I'm not talking to anybody in my immediate family. So where I'm headed is a nice two-bedroom apartment that has really nice natural light and I'm having a happy, positive phone call with my dad and with my sister once a week. So this is really about noticing and then writing down what you notice. So once you've created these two pieces of writing, where you want to be and then where you are now, you put your notes away, you make sure you put them where you can find them, and you schedule the next review. You schedule the next session when you're going to do the same exercise. So this is a really good one to do quarterly along with that goal review. And I did not make this up. It's sometimes called the pivotal technique, and sometimes it's called mental contrasting. But it is a recognized way to, kind of light your fire from within, get yourself moving in the right direction. I found it very useful, and you may as well. So if you do happen to have goals for, you know, your content marketing or goals for a website that you work with, I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that we do have our Copy Blogger Content Challenge going on. So if your goals list includes things like improve my website or get more web traffic or get more email subscribers, this is going to help you do that. It's all free. We're going to be talking about really making the content on your site just incredibly strong and useful. And so we're going to be sending you some fun and simple exercises that are going to walk you through how we approach this task on Copyblogger. We also have a free webinar, and we even have a pop-up forum where you can hang out with me, you can hang out with the rest of the Copyblogger editorial team and get encouragement and support. So all of it is free. You can get signed up over at the Copyblogger blog at copyblogger.com/cornerstone-content-challenge. And if you just swing by the blog, you know, you'll see the links there pretty prominent. You can also come to pinkhairedmarketer.fm and we'll have a sign up link for you here. Again, it's totally free. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have a few thousand people already signed up, and I think it's going to be really energizing. I think it's going to be really useful. So if you, you know, do build any kind of content for a website and you want to make it better, we'd love to have you hang out with us. And in case you missed me mentioning it a couple of minutes ago, I am also the new host for the podcast that was for a long time called The Lead and is now called Copyblogger FM. And that is going to be all about content marketing. So content marketing news and strategy and how to and case studies, that kind of thing. So if content is your game, you know, I would love to see you there as well. Right now, the plan is that that podcast is going to publish on Thursdays, and the one you're listening to right now is going to be publishing on Mondays. So I very, very much look forward to seeing you here or there or both places or in the challenge. And I wish you a wonderful and joyful and successful 2016. Thank you guys so much, and I'll see you soon.